Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that we're able to be together again. And with the Lord's help, we'll conclude this message, Receiving Your Double Portion. And we were looking at the lives, very briefly, of Elijah and Elisha. And I shared the verses in 2 Kings, 2nd chapter, verses 12 through 14. When Elisha saw the chariot of Israel, he called out to Elijah, and Elijah passed down the mantle as he was being taken up to heaven. And so, what was going on? What was the dynamic? And this is the sole purpose, basically, of me sharing this with you, is that if you have a desire to be used of God, whatever your station in life is, whatever your metron of authority or sphere of influence, God has His plans, His purposes, His anointing for you to be able to be faithful and to rise to the high calling of God that is on your life. And only the Lord is your judge, not the opinions of others, not that we're not to be in submission one to another or godly scriptural authority, but that we have to realize what Elisha was asking was that the God of Elijah, his God also, would be glorified. It's important that we understand that regardless of everything else, the most important thing is purity of heart. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that the pure in heart shall see God. In verse 16 in Deuteronomy 21, the word says, "Then it shall be." Now, this is, of course, regarding the ministry of the firstborn, the double portion, that when he maketh his sons to inherit, this is the father, that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. And so Elisha, when Elijah said, "All right, I haven't been able to get rid of you. You've stayed with me. What before I'm taken? What is it? What is your wish? What is your desire? What is that which you desire from me, from the Lord?" And he'd already made that commitment. He was asking that the prophetic mantle be his. He had been faithful to serve Elijah. He'd made that commitment. He'd said farewell to his parents. He'd already left behind his plow and oxen. These were represented his earthly possessions. He left everything so that he could follow Elijah and receive a double portion. Isn't that what the disciples did? Peter, John, when they saw what the miracles Jesus did, when he called them, Jesus asked to use Peter's boat, they left everything and began to follow Jesus. So what was Elijah's response? He says, "You've asked a hard thing." Beloved, yes, serving the Lord, you know, those that paint the salvation message as just being the end of all your problems. You're just going to have love, joy, peace. There's not going to be difficulties. That's dishonest, because sometimes then the battles only really start. He said, "You've asked a hard thing." And of course, Elijah didn't have the power to give what Elisha wanted. God was the only one who chooses his servants. But what we see here is the dynamic faith of Elisha being rewarded when Elijah was translated. Elisha was there to receive the mantle that fell, not only from Elijah, but also from God, the Lord himself. You see, God saw the sacrifices that Elisha made. And beloved, you know, it's one thing to receive the mantle of an office. It's a whole other thing to receive the power to faithfully execute and minister the God's divine call in that election, if you will. So what do we see? Elisha returned to the Jordan alone, carrying Elijah's mantle. But he wasn't alone. The power of God was with him. He struck, he might not have felt any differently, but he struck the waters and he cried, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And the Lord was right there, waiting to be proved. Beloved, we need to understand, we can see it in the Word of God, but faith, as James said, without works is dead. We have to be willing to step out into the waters, just as the priest who carried the ark across Jordan at its fullest, at when it was at its fullest borders. It was in the natural, it had to be a frightening thing. But when they did that, the waters parted so the people of God could go into the promised land, as God has shared that they could do that. And that was his promise initially, but because of unbelief, that earlier generation was not allowed to enter in. Where is the God of Elijah? Beloved, we the church today, God's people, beloved, you and I need to realize God is waiting to be proved. God lives. His power hasn't changed. All power is his in heaven and in earth. This is what God has for his church today. It says all of creation groans and travails, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. When we realize that our God is all powerful, we will strike the waters of our difficulties. We will step forth in his name, and God will honor that faith. We'll see him work in our lives when we receive the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's no need to just jump up and down and say, "Well, I've got the power, I've got the power." We don't have to do that. It will be seen and it will be felt. The sons of the prophets, basically, they saw what was done. You know, sometimes the educated, the seminarians of today have been educated out of the power of God. They, you know, the sons of the prophet, we might call them the educated theological students of their day. Why did God choose a farmer above the sons of the prophets? Well, beloved, God chooses people who are willing to be fully surrendered to him, whoever they might be. Hear what the word of the Lord says in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verses 4 and 5. These are the words of Paul. "And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." And then he goes on to say, why should that be? He answers that implied question, "that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Praise God. And then in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, in verse 24, the word of the Lord says, "But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God," verse 25, "because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." And then let's look at Romans, the first chapter, and that is verse 16. "For I am not ashamed," Paul says, "of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Praise God. And then in Mark, the 9th chapter, verse 1, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power." And right after that, you know, there was Peter, James, and John were taken up to Mount Hermon, which was the where Jesus was transfigured before them, and they saw his glory. Beloved, the kingdom of God is coming in power. It came in power with the early church, with the advent of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and we are called to stand and do those same works that God has called us to. In the closing chapter of the Gospel of Mark, Mark 16, these are the words of Jesus. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's what he's telling us today, beloved. We can do that by our prayers. We may not be able to go to India or Africa, but God knows the power of intercession. He goes on to say, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Beloved, this is the express will of Jesus, and they all represent the power and the authority and the anointing that God has given to each and every member of his body. In the first chapter of Ephesians, Paul prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ would give you, beloved, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, which is given to you, beloved, I threw that in, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Beloved, God has given that delegated authority to you in the name of Jesus, that you can do the works which God commissioned his disciples to do when he was with him. Jesus did, and that has meant it is his desire that's never been disannulled, that we are to continue that work, that the world may know there is a God who will judge us all at the last days. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577. Caldwell, Idaho, 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,